Good. Can you all hear me fine? Right?
I suppose that has to be my attention getter every morning I come here. Can you hear me? Oh, I hope it was a good one. Well, good evening again, everyone. Thank you for having me back. I suppose I did at least somewhat of a decent job, considering you wanted me back. So, that's reassuring. Something I forgot to mention about myself, I thought you'd all like to know. I don't know if I said it or not. I attend the Clovis Church of Christ. And I've attended there every Sunday of my entire life. Ever since I was a baby, I was in church with my parents. I am also 20 years old. And I've been attending a preacher's training program with our preacher, Scott Young, for a couple weeks now. And one thing he taught me was I have to try to stay put. I like to dance around and move around and move my hands a lot. And he said that could be distracting. So I'm trying to stay put now. With all that being said, let's get into our topic for this evening. I'd like to talk about how church congregations seem to come in very many different sizes. They range from 10 or 20. The Church of Christ in Shaver, sometime I preach and there's only two people there. Some are really small, and some number even in the thousands. Like, a friend of mine, I was asking about their church, asking about mine, and I said, well, at Clovis we got about maybe 300 members, give or take. And I consider that pretty large. And then they go, huh, that's large. I have a couple thousand at my church. And I thought, wow, okay. Now, the definition of church size is rather arbitrary, but to me, what I've sort of decided on my own is a small church is less than 200. That's just what I think. A medium church, it has over 200 to 400. The large church has 400 and plus. That's just my own personal opinion. Now, why I'm saying all this is because each size has its advantages. We like to think that the largest churches are, you know, have the most advantages, which they do. Some of them have a lot of advantages. They have more resources. They can reach out to more people. They take in a bigger offering. Just with their increased resources, they can do a lot. But the small congregations, they got a lot to offer as well. And when you think about it one way, the number of our members is not that significant. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So no matter what the number, if the congregation, we do God's will, we do everything right, we're one body. No matter how big or how small, the amount is the same. One. And that's going to be my topic for this sermon is, I'm going to talk about the benefits of a small church. What a small congregation can offer. Now, I want to point this out. My purpose is not to encourage staying small. That's not what I'm saying. Or I'm going to be comparing small churches and big churches. I'm not going to be bashing small churches, big churches. I love my church, the Clovis Church of Christ. I'm never going to say, oh, don't go there. Bad place. That's not what I'm saying. It might sound like that, but I'm not. So, that being said, a small church, well, I'm sorry, I'll just state the topic straight up. The first topic is a stronger sense of family that a small church has. I'm willing to bet good money that everyone in this room knows each other's names.
every single one of you. I'm willing to bet that's the case.
And, you know, I have gone to close my entire life, and I don't know everyone's names.
That's personally my fault for not taking initiative to going and talking to people. But still, I have not learned everyone's names. There's 300 people there. It's going to take you a long time and have an excellent memory to remember all 300 names. Not including children. Not including children. And so, face-to-face interactions is so much easier. And less intimidating. You'll walk in and everyone remembers your name or remembers their face, because I'm bad with names. I will remember your face. For the rest of my life, I will remember your face, but I probably won't remember your name. That's just me.
And a small church is one where it's easier to develop familial relationships.
What that means, it's easier to do so. You'll walk in and you can talk to multiple people for long periods of time. If you go to a church, you want to talk to as many people as you want, or as many people as you can. That's what I like to do, because I go to so many different small churches of Christ throughout the valley, and I want to go and introduce myself to each one of them. And I can have full-on conversations with each one of them. You can't do that with a large church. You can try, but you'll be there all day, and most people aren't going to stick around that long to try and talk to you. That's just the way it is. That's not wrong of those people. That's just the way it is.
And a sense of family, that's not, of course it's a good thing, but it's also proper. And it's also commanded. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 through 2, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity."
Again, that's not my words. It's commanded to treat each other like family, no matter who they are. And again, that's hard to do at a church, at a large church. You'll walk in, and yes, you'll give great relations with a lot of people, but not everyone. And so the next time you go, they'll go, "Oh, hey, you?" And that's about the extent of what you're going to get.
Also, it's an opportunity to cross generational lines. What I mean by that is, in a large church, obviously, it's important for the kids to talk with people their own age. They gain relations, they learn how to talk with each other. And that's good. They need that. But also, they need to be talking to the older generation too for wisdom. And I will tell you, when I was younger, and I had all my group of friends at church, I didn't want to talk to older people. I want to talk to my friends. You sit on the pew for a couple hours, you want to go play with your friends. And so, do you think a 10-year-old is going to offer life-changing wisdom? No. But a child, not 10-year-old, can learn wisdom from the older generation. And in a small church, that's what a greater chance for them to do. The generational lines they cross, they meet, and they learn. And it's good for both. The young and old benefit from each other's strengths. And that's something a small church has that is often lost with large churches.
And the family of God is a wonderful blessing. And sadly, it's a blessing most often experienced in small churches.
And I say that, not talking about Clovis necessarily, but I've been to different large churches. Not churches of Christ, I've visited because I'm curious to see what they're about. My friend who said, talked in the thousands, I said, "Okay, I'll go see yours. I mean, you've got to come to mine, but I'll come visit yours." And it was sad. Just the cliques. There was no family tie there. There's no family bond. Everyone was just talking to their own friends. No one was greeting each other. It was actually very sad. I thought, huh. I think that church in thousands isn't doing God's work as well as this congregation is doing.
That's the truth.
And so, the second option, the second point is there's greater opportunities to grow spiritually. Now, let's talk about roles of the church. They're not much different from large to small. You have scripture readers, announcers, song leaders, preachers, people on the Lord's table. It's about the same. Church of Christ and Wise, it's about the same wherever you go. Or teachers of small classes, it's about the same. But the ratio of roles to members is usually much greater in small churches. Simply because we don't have a large pool of members to choose from. And that might sound like a bad thing. But in reality, it's a good thing. Let me use myself as an example. At the Clovis Church of Christ, you get a new prayer, song leader, scripture reading about every week. When I was younger, because I haven't attended there in quite some time because I've been preaching so much. But when I was younger, I had one job, and I wasn't used for a couple months. And as a young man, I need to be opening my Bible more. And because I've started preaching, because you all need me to come preach for you all, I thank you so much. You gave me an opportunity to open the Bible and read it and learn. You provide me with an opportunity that I do not have at Clovis. And that's important. And it goes the same thing with teachers. We're needed more at small congregations. And it gives young future leaders a chance to learn and gain leadership skills. And it's out of necessity at times, of course, I know. But sometimes it's by design. Because I didn't have any training when I started preaching. I had no training. I got volunteered one time. I said, okay, sure. And they threw me in. And then I realized, each congregation I go to, each time I preach, this is my training. This is how I learn. It's because of you all. And I thank you for it. And so many other young preachers, young teachers, all across the valley, the country, they are becoming preachers, they're becoming leaders because of small churches. I owe a lot to the Clovis Church of Christ, but I didn't learn to preach there. I learned to preach here. Second point is that most likely when you're gone, you're missed. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Excuse me. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're meant to bear one another's burdens. And it's nice to have that feeling, the feeling of being missed. You go into a large congregation, you've been there your entire life, a couple hundreds in there, and you leave, you may not be missed. That's not putting blame on anyone else, it's a large crowd. How do you keep track? How on earth could you keep track of everyone? If someone's missing in a church like this, or a church like Chorus Gold or Shaver, if someone's missed, they notice. They notice, and they're concerned. They will call and ask, are you all right? And that's, again, that's just not my opinion. I've been preaching for quite a while. It was a month since I've been at Clovis, and I came back, and
I wasn't noticing much. And that's not their fault. It's just big. But it's nice to have that. It's nice to be needed. It's nice to be missed. And it's a great blessing that small churches have. And proportionally speaking, more preachers, teachers, elders, and average members have been developed by small churches than large churches. Developed meaning they get their training, like I was stating earlier. And so again, I'm going to restate my point. Of course, there are many things a large church can do that a small church cannot. It's to see a large church like the Woodward Park Church of Christ, the Clovis Church of Christ, it's incredible to see how big it is and the great members it are. It has all people of the same mindset. That's a great thing to see. But we have to also remember the benefits of a small church that we need to appreciate. So I said, provides greater opportunities for growth, growth spiritually. Now, my point is, it provides greater opportunities for growth in general, like population-wise. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2 now. This was our verse before I started. Acts chapter 2. If I could just get there myself. Yep. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, why a smaller church has a greater opportunity to grow than a large church? Yes, a large church can reach out to more with resources and social media. But the benefits that a small church has that is sometimes lost on a large church, that helps it grow. If a small church does everything it says in this passage, they're going to grow. God has a plan. He says it right there. He will add to your numbers. It will happen. And that is the main reason why a small church has a greater opportunity. And that's the main reason. Because if you do everything right, God will do it. And guaranteed, small church like this, you all do everything right. And the benefits that this small church has, if we keep them, just like everything else, we keep them. Even when we get large, we will prosper. And that's my second point. We gotta watch for stagnation. We gotta watch for staying put. Because, oh, it is awful tempting to want to remain small. It's comfortable. It's comfortable. Because of its advantages, its warmth, its friendliness, and it's less intimidating. I wasn't the best at talking to people. It took practice. Trying to walk into a new church with a bunch of people was kind of intimidating. I don't want to talk to them. I want to keep my head down. In a small church, you don't have that. You know everyone's name. You just walk in, so, oh, hey, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so. And it's friendly. And, of course, we'd like that, but, again, not an opinion, but we're commanded to grow. The Lord expects us to grow. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 now. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." So, we're expected to grow. And we should not be content to remain small. We're commanded to be content with all that we have. But being small isn't one of them. We shouldn't be content. We should want to grow and bring people in. It was like my sermon today. We're commanded to be lights. We're commanded to go out and inspire people. We can't do that if we lock the doors and board the windows and say, "No one come in." We should be inviting. And again, once we grow, a big problem that churches have is they start off small, they have those benefits, and once they become large, they lose them. They lose them. And that's important, that once the church grows and prospers, it has to keep the benefits. Or it will fail. It will fail. Which is sad because I've seen it fail. My friend's church, it's failing. I went back there. I think there's maybe 50 people now. It failed because it lost its benefits, it's lost its friendliness, and it's failing. They didn't do God's word. And so, that's what, it will happen. So, I have just two verses left for you all, and they're both in Acts. So, let's turn back to Acts and chapter 6, the sixth chapter. Acts chapter 6. Okay, in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." That's another problem. It says right there, the number of the disciples was multiplying. There was complaint because someone's being neglected. And that happens. That happens. If someone is neglected in that large church, someone is neglected or left out, they'll take that to heart. They'll take that personally. It's human nature. Again, that's not saying no one's pointing fingers. It's not anyone's fault. It's just if you're not greeted, if you're not given the proper treatment as everyone else, you're going to think, "Wow, this isn't a very friendly place." And it could be very friendly. But I don't know the full story, and this isn't spreading gossip or anything. But I went to the Core School Church of Christ, and an old lady came up to me. I did this sermon up there as well. And she said, "Yeah, you are so right. I went to a large Church of Christ one time, and no one came to talk to me." And thought, wow, how sad. I don't know the whole story. But there you go, it happens. And it's sad to think about, but what can you do in a large church? She probably just walked in. I don't know. So, last verse now, in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Try to end us all on a positive note. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." So, conclusion. If we are not on an upward spiral of growth, we are probably heading downward. we're going to be multiplied. It's going to happen. And again, there are advantages to different sizes of churches. My intent was not to say, whoa, small church is superior or large church is superior. No. I apologize if that's how it came off, but that was not my intent. My purpose has been to ensure that we do not let small churches go unnoticed and are not appreciated. Because sometimes they are. Sometimes they're underappreciated, and we need to appreciate them and their values. And large churches need to get back with the program and get back those benefits. So, the small congregation, we need to focus on our strength, which will lead to growth. And this church is a family, a strong family, like every church of Christ. It's a strong family bond. And if you have not been baptized, you're not part of this family yet. Not yet, but you can be. Part of this big family, because we're all brothers and sisters, and God is our Father. So if you desire to be part of this family, to be part of this faith, to save your soul, you have the opportunity to be baptized right now. Or, if there's something in your life that you need help with, you need the friendly embrace, the warmth of this great family, you need their prayers, for any reason at all, please come forward while we stand and sing.